through the book of 1 Corinthians this morning. And so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you would stand with me, and we'll read verses 25 through 40 this morning. 1 the Apostle Paul writes, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they have none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman who cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she has passed the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and is so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then, he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God." Father, take these precious words off these pages, Lord, and use them as seed to be planted deep within our hearts. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Give us hearts to believe that we would bear fruit, Lord, 30, 60, and 100-fold for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The congregation at the Church of Corinth had written a letter to Pastor Paul. They had asked him numerous questions. Pastor Paul was the founder of the church at Corinth. He went into an area that was steeped in sin of all sorts. But the Lord had told him prior to his entering the city that there were yet many of God's people in this city. That's true anywhere that the gospel is proclaimed, because there are people out there outside of this place, the highways and the byways, that are future children of the kingdom of heaven. And God, through the Great Commission, has called you and I to go, therefore, and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God has entrusted you and I with these mysteries, if you would, with the treasures of this wonderful book called the Bible, to go forth and plant into water, and God would bring forth the growth, even in the darkest of areas, even in a city like Corinth. But there were some very important questions concerning specific problems in the church. Some of them seem foreign to us today. As you were reading through the text, you're probably going, what is Paul talking about here with the virgins and all, and a wife being bound and all of these things? Well, it was a challenge for me putting this all together this week. But you know what? I think we can get through it. And sometimes God stretches me a little bit. But you know what? There's some wonderful things in this text this morning that I think I would hope that if you're half as blessed as I was preparing it, then God is really going to speak to us here this morning. And so some of these problems were in the area of marriage, being single, and also the widows. Every church deals with those three issues even to this very day. And so one of the questions that Pastor Paul was perplexed over, a lot of P's there, was, is it more spiritual to say stay single as a Christian, or is it more spiritual to marry as a Christian? After all, doesn't Proverbs 18:22 say that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord? This is true, isn't it, guys? Oh, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and does obtain favor from the Lord. So they knew the Old Testament scriptures. Paul had been teaching them from the Old Testament scriptures, because in the time that Paul was in Corinth, that's all they had, was the Old Testament scriptures that he was teaching from. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. But they also knew that chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 28, said that the Lord told them to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and to subdue it. And so they knew from the Old Testament that, yes, marriage was good. It was very good. But yet they saw Pastor Paul as a single man. They saw him living a life of celibacy. He was a very spiritual man. I believe he's one of the most spiritual and holy men of all in all of Scripture. He was living a life of singleness, celibacy, and a life of spiritual devotion to the Lord. So there are a lot of people thinking, well, do I have to stay single in order to be as spiritual as Pastor Paul? Good question. So what is it, Paul? To follow the scriptures that say to be fruitful and multiply, or following the life of Paul and living a life of singleness? I believe the Apostle Paul was married at one time. Scripture doesn't tell us what happened in his marriage, but we know in the life of a Pharisee, and to be part of the Jewish Sanhedrin, that you had to be a married man. Paul may have lost his wife during the persecution. She may have left and bolted when he became a believer. When he went from this raving rabbi arresting Christians and putting them to death, to all of a sudden preaching about the kingdom of heaven and grace, salvation by grace through faith. And so for the Jew, that was very, very foreign. And so he may have lost his wife for that reason. So this morning in verse 25, Paul says, now concerning virgins, he says, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. Now, the term virgin also refers to singles, okay? I want to clear something up initially before we get started. And let me say this. The Bible tells us that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is rejecting the Holy Spirit of God, okay? The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not being divorced, or is not losing your purity by wrong choices, okay? And so I want to kind of clear that up. If you are a believer now, and maybe you lived a life of promiscuity before you came to know Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that you are now a new creation in Him. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are washed. And God sees you now as pure as a virgin. And that's cool. You know, because, man, a lot of people in the church today have bought the lie out there, looking for love in all the wrong places. And then they come to know the Lord and they think, oh, man, they kind of squirm when we talk about virgins in the church today. Those of you that are Christians and still pure, keep it that way. It's a gift from God. And I think you need to live a life of purity before the Lord. And so the term virgins in the first section refers to being single, or the purity of a person that has not had a sexual relation with the opposite sex. And so Paul says there's really no commandment in verse 25 concerning singleness. There's no scripture verse that says thou shalt not get married, or thou shalt stay single, okay? Yet as an apostle led by the Spirit, due to the tremendous persecution the church is undergoing in the time of Paul's visit to Corinth, what he's saying to them in verse 26 is, maybe because of all the trials and tests and tribulations and troubles, maybe you should remain single for a while. Because with all of these things going on, it's a lot easier to be spiritually minded, okay? If you're not concerned about a wife and a family during difficult times in the church. It was a tremendous time of distress. And that's why Paul says in verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress. That is, it is good for a man to remain as he is. And again, when we look at the church at Corinth, when we look at the early church, it's hard for us to imagine what persecution was like. We're kind of soft here in America. As Western Christians, we don't have to go underground to attend a church fellowship on Sunday like many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. We've got it made. We can cruise right into the parking lot. We've got air conditioning. By the way, is it a little cold in here? If it is, we'll turn it down a little bit for you, okay? And, you know, we got cushions to sit on and all of these things. This is cool. I had a little bit of a taste of what it might have been like in the early church, spending 12 years in Vermont. We had a 200-year-old building with an outhouse, okay? We saw who the faithful saints were back there. No indoor plumbing, no running water, and we won't go into any details on the facilities that we had. But you know what? It was a little bit tougher, and we could really see who the committed Christians were back there. But this was a tremendous time of persecution. It could cost you your life by going to church. And so it was a time of distress for the early church. Many had to flee for their lives. Many were excommunicated from synagogue because they were now Christians instead of following the Old Testament laws. But Paul says, wait for now. Single, stay put. Wait upon the Lord. Even back in verses 1 and 2, Paul says in chapter 7, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it's good for man not to touch a woman or to remain single. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. And so if you need companionship, a mate, a helpmate. We're going to look at Genesis here in a moment. And you need those sexual desires that God has given you satisfied, then the Lord tells you to go ahead and get married. So Paul sums it up in verse 27. He says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. So first of all, he talks about marriage here this morning. Now, in our text this morning, I know we've got about 15 verses or so, but we're really going to key in on verses 27 and 28, talking about marriage and singles, because I think there are some important points for you and I to grab onto here this morning. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever your state may be, I think the Lord wants to speak to us in the area of marriage and singleness. And so in verse 27, Paul says, are you married? Don't try to get out of it. Don't try to drive her off. Don't make her miserable so she'll leave. Don't seek to be loosed. Paraphrase. Joe Coleman paraphrase there. Now, the key word for the singles and for the marriage is the word seek. You go, wow, that's a heavy word, Pastor Joe, the word seek. Well, let me give you the original Greek on that. The word seek in context here in verse 27, where he says, do not seek to be loosed. Or do not seek a wife for the singles at that particular time. What he's talking about here, it's a Greek word that means to seek out frantically as an obsession or to panic. OK, that's what that word seek means in context of the text that we have before us here this morning. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Don't make an obsession. Don't look frantically to loose your wife from you or to get married. Paul is really going to challenge us in the area of marriage and singleness this morning. Well, what do you mean? To the married, he says, don't seek out or freak out trying to be loosed. Don't be frantic or obsessed with getting out of the situation. To the seeking singles, he says, God is going to lay out his plan. And don't you seek out or freak out as well. Wait upon the Lord. What I love about the Word of God is that God lays it out for us very practically, powerfully, and perfectly when it comes to every area of our lives. The Bible tells us that God's Word, Scripture, gives us all that pertains to life and godliness. Any questions you have about your life, any questions you have about God or godliness or holiness are all penned for you and I in this wonderful book called the Bible. So, in the book of Genesis, the creation story, you know the story. The Bible tells us that the Lord created the heavens and the earth and all. He created the animal kingdom. He created man on the sixth day. And at the conclusion of every day, if you've read the story, we've been going through it on Wednesday night, the book of Genesis. At the end of every day, God said that it was good. It's kind of a word that we've kind of overshadowed today with awesome, cool. When God says something is good, he means exactly that. It's good. We don't really know what good is, to be real honest with you. because we live after the fall, after the flood, after all of these cataclysmic things happened on the face of the earth. And don't get me wrong, this is a very beautiful area, isn't it? Southern California is awesome. Or it's also good. Even after the fall. But can you imagine what it looked like when God created all of these things in 6 days and he said it's good? Not only that, at the end of the seventh day, the number seven in Scripture is a number of completion. God saw that it was very good. And yet the first mention of something that was not good is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And guess where that falls? God says it is not good for man to live alone. Man needs help. God knew that. We all need help, don't we, guys? So God gave him a job to do. Guess what? From the ground, God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. And for Adam, as he named all of these animals going by, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. All of a sudden he saw Mr. and Mrs. Rhinoceros and Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe and Mr. and Mrs. Hippo. But for him, there wasn't a Mrs. Adam. And he knew that there was something wrong. He noticed male and female of every species. Yet something was missing. No Mrs. Adam. And all of a sudden, Adam was aware of his need. Guess what? He was actually the first single, my friend. He's going, hey, man, I'm single. Do you suppose God realized that and recognized that, that Adam was a single guy? Well, here's the key. God does know your need even before you need it. Scripture tells us that God knows what we need even before we ask. He knows the desires of our heart. He also sees if you need to be married. So chill out. He also sees if you can excel in singleness. What we're to do, the very reason that we were created, okay, was to bring glory to God, was to have fellowship with him, to have that intimate relationship with him, and everything else is icing on the cake. And if you truly do enter into that type of a relationship with the true and the living God, then you consider everything that comes your way a tremendous blessing from God, whether you're married, whether you're single. You can be content in all things. We talked about that last week. Get the CD. Even before you have a need, he knows it. So be about your Father's business, whatever it is. If you're a Christian husband or Christian wife, be about your Father's business. If you're a single Christian, be about your Father's business. Adam didn't go out and beat the bushes, okay? Adam didn't go out and belly up to the bar. Been there, done that. Adam didn't grab a vine and go with the swinging singles, okay? You have to be very, very careful, singles. If Adam wasn't careful in his frantic obsession, he might have gone ape over someone. And if Sigmund Freud had been around, he would have told him that it was okay. That's not God's best for you, okay? Big hairy guy, big hairy gal with banana breath. That's not God's plan for you, okay? That's not God's will. That's not God's way. His way, first of all, he saw Adam's need. He knew Adam's need. Secondly, Adam was aware of his need. God made Adam aware of that need. Not only that, here's the key to the whole situation and the life of the need that Adam had. Adam rested in the Lord. That's important. Married or single, are you able to rest in the Lord? The Bible tells us that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. God says, rest in me, single. Rest in me, married person. And it's important that you and I are able to rest in the Lord. Isn't that difficult to do? I have a hard time resting in the Lord. I can be so busy about doing things, even religious things, if you would, or Christian things. We can be so busy that we can't rest in the Lord. So guess what happened? The Bible tells us that God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, took one of his ribs. By the way, that's the closest part to man's heart that he made Eve out of. And guess what? The Bible tells us when he awoke, he called her woman. I like to hyphenate that. Whoa, man. I think when Adam first saw her, he went, whoa, man. W-O-M-A-N. Mrs. Adam. Lo and behold. And so God brought her to him when he was at a place of rest in him.
And I know I sound like a broken record. I have Christians come to me all the time. Pray for me, Pastor Joe. I need a mate. And I do pray. And you know what I pray for? Contentment. Contentment where you are. You don't want to end up with some big hairy guy or hairy guy with or gal with banana breath. OK, wait on God's choice, man. Be very, very careful. Why? The number one single most important choice you will ever make in your life is God's Son, Jesus Christ. The number two single most important decision you will make in your life is if you choose to marry. That's an important decision. That's a very, very important decision. And you need to be very, very careful when you do it. So rest in Him. And so, isn't it cool? All of a sudden, Adam rested. He was content. He fellowshipped in the cool of the day with God. And you know what? He didn't have to settle for Magilla Gorilla. I remember a cartoon named Magilla Gorilla when I was a kid. And didn't have to settle for the gorilla of his dreams. So God's way for you, for your kids in all. If you really want to be a seeker, okay, memorize Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so there is a good seeking in all of this, okay? And it's not a frantic seeking. I wish that our passions and our desires were those emotions that were directed towards the things of God. But there's this fleshly battle that goes on where we're seeking after things that really don't count in light of eternity. Our passion, our desires should be focused towards God, and He takes care of the rest. Married, He says, stay married, rest in Me. We're going to talk a little bit more about the marriage relationship too. Single, don't panic, don't get frantic, don't sell out. So you singles are thinking, well, how will God know? How will I know when it's time? When Mr. Right or Mrs. Right comes along, how will you know when you've found the right person? Well, in the book of Genesis account, Adam says, she is flesh of My flesh. Now she is bone of My bone. That's a Hebraic idiom that means this. You are My counterpart. We were made for each other. You are My completer. Isn't that interesting? That a husband or a wife makes us complete in the marriage relationship. We are knit together. We are cemented together. And so this Hebraic idiom means that that is our counterpart, our completer. Even though the woman is very different from the man and the man is very different from the woman, they fit together perfectly. This Hebrew idiom helps us to know when you have found the right person. Why? Because there will be a completeness there. OK, there will be a counterpart there made in the image of God. God's plan, God's perfect mate for you. As we all know, God is a triune being, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, isn't it interesting that He has made us triune as well? Not in a Godhead, but we are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. We have the physical, we have the mind, we have the emotions, which are the soul, and we also have the spirit. And the real spirit is the innermost being. The real me is the spiritual man, which relates to God. And so when Adam looked at Eve, he saw this triune partner. In body, physically beautiful to behold. In soul, their minds and their emotions were interwoven as well. And in spirit, they both worshiped God together. And that's the key of the whole relationship, the spiritual, because the rest of it comes together in the Lord. It's a major mistake, singles, not to have all three. Why? Because the world out there will tell you that Mr. Right or Mrs. Right is the hottie, you know, the one that looks real good. Well, you know what? A marriage can't be based on just a physical attraction, nothing but a physical attraction. If you don't believe me, just look at Hollywood. You know, they're married for a day or a week or a month, and they just go through husbands and wives like we change our socks, you know. And so you got to be very, very careful that you have all three of these things in this relationship. And so if you're single, don't settle for one out of three. Even two out of three isn't good enough. It must be three out of three. In the meantime, go to sleep. Wait. Rest in the Lord. Enjoy Him. Wait on Him. Seek Him. And you know what? You won't say, I almost married an ape. Instead, you'll say, Lord, look what You've done. Look who You have sent my way.
You know what? I say that every day of my life. I wasn't married in the Lord. First 7 years of our marriage was the pits. Don't have time to go into any details. If you've been here any length of time, I've shared bits and pieces. But you know what? As my wife was standing up here doing the announcements this morning, I'm thinking, I am such a blessed man. Lord, look what you did for me. And I almost threw it all away. You know, Lord, look what you did for me. Our 30th anniversary would be in August. That's a miracle. If you don't believe in miracles, that is a miracle, my friend. And so I think it's so important to wait. And you know what? All of a sudden, Tarzan will come along, ladies, you know. Or Jane, guys, you know. Just wait upon the Lord. Look for those three things. But the ultimate and important thing is the spiritual thing. It really is. You see, in the Old Testament times, they used to have what they called a betrothal, when the parents would arrange the marriage. There's a heavy one. But you know what? It was for a purpose. It was to keep the bloodline pure. It was to keep God's people from turning away from God. It was when Israel began to intermarry with the world is when things really began to fall apart, when they began to do things that were right in their own eyes. It's deeper than what we can see, isn't it? It's a heart thing. It's hearts knit together in the Lord. Read Ecclesiastes, where it talks about the three-strand cord, the husband, the wife, and the Lord. And the three-strand cord cannot be broken. And so it's so important. And I know it's hard to be single in a world where you look around and sometimes you think, man, all of the things they do at church are for couples. And we try to avoid that. We really do. We try to include everybody in everything we do, okay? And I know it's hard to be single. And it's lonely at night. And it's lonely to go home to an empty apartment or whatever. But God will meet you where you are. Get about your Father's business. You know, if it bothers you just sitting at home, go somewhere where there's hurting people. You can go over here to any convalescent home. Over the years, Tina and I have been involved in convalescent homes, and I have never gone to a convalescent home that's turned me away to go in and pray for somebody or read the Bible to somebody or encourage them somehow, some way. There are a million places you can go to be about your Father's business. I told you I was going to take some time here in these two verses, but I think it's so important. Now we go to the married, okay? We touch a little bit on the singles. Maybe you're married, now asking, you know, where was this teaching years ago when I needed it? I got banana breath next to me. Just kidding. Nothing but monkey business ever since we got married outside of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul says, don't be loosed, okay? Don't split up. Don't try to look for someone else. He says, don't be loosed. You say, well, what do I do, Pastor Joe? I don't know. No, just kidding. I've got some points for you. Even though you may only have one out of three or two out of three in your relationship, you know what? In Jesus Christ, He can give you three out of three. All of those things. How do I know? I'm a recipient of that. You know, I believe that Tina went into our marriage relationship initially with three out of three, but I was a bonehead. You know, and I had to learn the hard way. But you know what? It's three out of three from both sides now because Jesus Christ is the center of it. But here's the key. You must allow God to be the center of your relationship, even if your spouse is not a believer, because it's the godly behavior of a Christian man or a Christian woman. And I include a Christian man in that, that is going to draw the unbelieving spouse to the Lord. Don't preach till you're blue in the face to him or her. Live it out, okay? That's the biggest testimony, that Jesus Christ is real, that He lives in earthen vessels, and that the unsaved spouse can see Jesus Christ beyond the shadow of a doubt. The Bible tells us that we are living epistles, okay? What are they reading when they see your life at home? Are you grumpy and grouchy and putting him down because he doesn't go to church? That is not going to work. Why? Because Tina used to just go to church without me, and she never bugged me. But you know what? There was a day that I said, let's go to church. We were away for Thanksgiving, out partying with our friends and stuff. And I said, Tina, let's go to church Sunday. I don't want this anymore. And after she picked herself up off the ground, we went to church that Sunday and I got saved. But she lived it. You know, that's the important thing. You got to live it out. Don't be loose. Allow God to work. He's not only working in your life, but He's working in their life as well. So maybe your marriage is empty. Maybe it's dried up. Maybe it's parched. Maybe it's arid. Maybe you're wondering, what am I doing here? I need to be loosed. Well, there's a wonderful story in John chapter 2 about the first wedding that's recorded in Scripture in the New Testament. It's a wedding at Cana of Galilee. It's the first miracle that Jesus did. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? Jesus still does miracles in marriage. You need to realize that and recognize that, that God is the one that's able to do miracles, whether it's at Cana of Galilee or whether it's in the Coachella Valley. Maybe the sparkle and the bubble is missing out of your marriage. You see, at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, all of the wine was gone and the sparkle and the bubble was gone. It wasn't there anymore. We're earthen vessels. And what Jesus said is, take these earthen vessels, six of them, by the way, six is the number of man, fill them to the brim with water. And I look at that and I think, you know what? If your marriage is dry and parched and arid and there's no water in it, allow the Lord to fill you with that living water. Because Jesus Christ said that up from your innermost being will flow torrential rivers of living water. And so maybe you're an empty vessel. And God needs to fill you. And God is able to fill these earthen jars or earthen vessels. And lo and behold, He will put sparkle and bubble back in your relationship. Even in a relationship maybe that didn't start off on the right foot. Maybe it wasn't Christ-centered. Maybe you just went through the motions like I did almost 30 years ago. Just to do it right. Tie the knot. The reception's the whole thing, man. Let's party, you know? What a joke that is. You know the amazing thing? We just went to a church that the family went to, got married by this guy, thought he was very, very religious. When we got saved and went back, we found out this guy didn't even know the Lord, man. And we were saved now. So we were sharing the gospel with him. Isn't that amazing? So it's not the church building that makes a marriage. And it's not the guy that stands there and has you say, I do. Marriage is the wedding vows, the commitment together before God. It's a covenant. A covenant is based on trust. Marriage is not a contract. The world will give you the impression that marriage is a contract. It's not. A contract is based on distrust. A covenant is based on trust. And it is a marriage covenant before God, the words that we share. That is the marriage where the two become one flesh in Him. So if you're dry, if you're parched, if you're out of wine in your life, let the Lord fill you. And let Him bring that sparkle and bring that bubble back. Even as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure of Christ in earthen vessels. Isn't that amazing? I've yet to get over that. This treasure in earthen vessels that God brings into our lives. That sparkle, that bubble. As He fills our vessel with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And what you thought was dry and hollow and empty, God will fill that relationship with sweetness, with sparkle, so that you bubble over with joy. That's God's plan for marriage. Verse 29. We're finally off of 27 and 28. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. And so again, you can see the urgency in Corinth because of the persecution and all. Paul says the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. He's not telling them to dump their wives. What he's saying is make your commitment to the Lord even stronger. Stay married. Stay the head of your household. But make sure that the spiritual things are put in perspective, in high priority. And you know what? I really believe, folks, that we live in a time of urgency. I have never sensed the return of the Lord so soon as I have in the last few weeks. Not just because we had six earthquakes in California over the last week. Read Matthew 24. There's going to be more. But you look around at the world condition. You look around at all the things that Jesus said would be happening before the return of the Lord. And you know what? I often tell people not to buy green bananas. I say, well, what do you mean? If you're going to wait for those bananas to get ripe, then you're not looking for Jesus Christ to come today. I think it's important to be ready, to be watching, to be waiting, to be witnessing, to be working, whether you're married or whether you're single. So the time was short in Corinth. Time is short here in California, in America, in the world. And what I would encourage you singles to do is to redeem the time. This is precious time. This is Bema Seat time. And if you're bummed out looking like you're baptized in pickle juice, you're going to miss out on a lot of blessings. You know what's really going to happen to you that really seek to be married? When you quit looking, guess what? He's going to show up or she's going to show up. You know, that's always the way it works. I've always encouraged Christian singles to get involved in the work of the Lord. And you know what's going to happen? Someone is going to come alongside to labor with you that's about the Lord's business, and you're going to be like-minded. You're going to have 3 out of 3, okay? They're not out looking for Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright either. Man, the best place. I see the strongest Christian marriages are those that just about our Father's business and doing the things that He would have us to do. Redeem the time, singles. Redeem the time, married people. Put Christ first in all in your life. Don't get caught up in undue sorrows and possessions of this life, he continues on in verse 30. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. It's okay to have possessions, but don't allow them to possess you, okay? If you're having to miss out on doing things for God because you've got to work extra hours for that mortgage or that boat payment or that car that you shouldn't have gotten in the first place, then you know what? That's not the will of the Lord. I think it's so important not to get caught up in things. And it does bring undue sorrow, doesn't it? Worried about the late payment, worried about the credit card. Why did I ever do this? God is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide all of your needs, not wants, needs according to His riches in glory. Verse 31, notice. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. So true, isn't it? And what he's saying here is use these things. Money's a good thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. That doesn't make money evil, but if you are covetous, if you're headed to the casinos to try to win the big one, I had a guy a couple weeks ago visiting for the first time, says, man, I played the lottery today, and if I wanted, I was going to buy you a new church building. And I didn't mean to offend him, but I said, we don't depend upon the lottery to provide a building for us to meet. And not only that, my senior pastor, Chuck Smith, told me that one person is not going to purchase a church for the Lord. It's the body of Christ. And in Vermont, God gave us a church free. And God is able to do that whenever He chooses, see? And so don't be covetous. Don't get caught up in things. And it's so important that the things of this world that we use, but don't abuse or misuse the things that God has provided you and I with. Life is more than things. And if you're looking just for more things and more toys, you're going to be most miserable in this life, especially as a Christian. And so don't live for indulgences. Don't live for yourself. Don't live to just do nothing but immerse yourself in worldly things. That's a dangerous place to be. Don't be distracted in your spiritual lives by mundane things, things that are just temporal, things that don't last. Why? Because all of these things are passing away, Scripture tells us. Verse 32. But I want you to be without care. The term in the original language also talks about the term worry. Don't be worried about these things. He says, I don't want you to be caught up in undue cares. I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And that's one of the benefits of singleness, okay? You can just pick up and move when God calls you to leave, whether it's a mission field or whatever. In general, a married man has a limited range of service to the Lord. And that's true. That doesn't mean you quit serving the Lord altogether. But there are limitations when you have a spouse and a family to take along. And so single people can go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. I think that's a good thing anyway, singles. You know, take missionary trips. Go places that more than likely you won't be able to go after you get married. You know, I think it's important to seek God's direction, and you can be blessed single, blessed married. Notice, continuing on, same thing in the women in verse 34. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And again, it's not that she gives up her spiritual ministry to the Lord. I believe one of the greatest ministries, one of the most difficult ministries today, is being a mom, being a wife, raising children that have been loaned to you by God. That's a tremendous challenge. Look at the world today, how many moms are trying to avoid that responsibility, having their own careers and all these other things. And I think that one of the most important responsibilities and jobs on the planet is being a mother and being a wife. And I think it's so, so important to be a Christian woman, a Proverbs 31 woman. Don't shun the responsibility. So, continuing on, he says in verse 35, "And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction." There's wisdom in there. Don't allow distractions to hinder what God really wants to do in your life. Have you ever been disappointed in stepping out by faith in the Lord? I never have. You know, God has done exceedingly and abundantly more than I could ever think or ask by just putting Him first, stepping through the doors that He opens by faith. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more exciting, whether it's in marriage or being single, than being committed to the Lord and by faith taking the steps that He sets before us. There's nothing more exciting. We have been places and done things that we never, never, ever would have done without Jesus Christ. We have met people that we never would have met. You know, if Jesus Christ didn't die on that cross, I don't think I would have ever met any of you here in this room here this morning. The very fact that we're here together, the very fact that we, for the most part, I know your names and your kids and all, is because Jesus Christ died on that cross for us. And you know what? You look around the room at the people and the friends and the family and the loved ones that we have. This is a tight-knit body. And it's because we serve the Lord here. We put a high priority on His Word. We die to ourselves so that He might be exalted. We love one another. We minister one to another. That's so, so important. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. The most miserable people on the planet, first of all, are those living for themselves outside of Christ. Secondly, are those that are trying to live for themselves in Christ. They're bumming, man. You know, because it just doesn't fit. You need to live for Christ. That's the all important thing. Notice, continuing on. "But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she's past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well." As I mentioned, in those days, they would engage their children at a very young age. I believe it's called either the kiddushin or the huppah. I forget which one it is. One of them is the engagement period. And that can happen at a very young age. And so there were parents at this particular time that felt that it was important to keep their children single, because the blessings of the Lord were more abundant there. But Paul says, hey, you know what? Allow your children to be married. Don't allow your daughter to become beyond the term that he uses here is past the flower of youth. That means graciously getting older, I guess. And what he's saying is allow them to get married. Let them marry. "Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has the power of his own will, and so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well too." And so if your daughter decides to stay at home, take care of her parents, serve the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that either. The key, the central focus, is the Lord. Don't try to build the Lord around your life, okay? Build your life around the Lord, and there's a difference there. We have to seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and His righteousness. Build your life around Him. Always make Him the central focal point of your very being, of your very soul. The third part of that triune being that we saw in mankind. Continuing on. Verse 38. "So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives." That's why in the wedding vow, it's "as long as we both shall live," or "till death do us part." Again, the marriage vow is binding. "But if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord." Again, notice the emphasis on the name of the Lord. As a believer, we are not to be unequally yoked, okay? He's talking about the widows here. It is amazing the number of widows I have met in the body of Christ. And we're not talking people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. I've met widows as young as 21, 22 years old. There are a lot of them in America today because of what's going on in Iraq. And I think it's so important that we minister. Take care of the widows. Pray for them. Encourage them. Help them out. I think it's so important to take care of the needs of these women that have been so brokenhearted and devastated by losing their husband, whether it's at a young age or at an old age. But here's the key. Paul tells us back in this epistle earlier that if you are burning with sexual desire for a mate, be very, very careful that that mate is a Christian. That's why he says to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. Don't be unequally yoked. OK, again, it goes back to the gorilla thing. Don't settle for banana breath. Make sure that you get married in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. Paul ends with, folks, if you're going to make a decision, especially one as important as being single or being married, make sure that you seek the Lord's will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Covered a lot of ground this morning. Didn't think I'd get through it, did you? So anyway, what we want to do as we close here this morning.